following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
The AP Top 25, the Top 10 really, and $40 million rosters, a weird correlation here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Yep, apologies. It's Tuesday. And you're on the line. There we go. We can clip that after the fact here. Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. We didn't change the rundown for a lot of the first hour because it's going to be a lot of what we talk about here this afternoon. And another very hot one here in the Auburn Opelika area, continuing to catch you down to the weekend, continuing to catch you down to high school football season. It just gets closer and closer. More high school stuff we're knocking out each and every day. Continuing to get more and more fired up, continuing to get more and more ready for Auburn High School and for Lee Scott Academy, and have some more fantastic coverage on that side of things tomorrow. Again, we'll run through kind of our week-by-week schedule here in just a little bit, but happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. My man Trip Upton across from me as well. Happy Tuesday. I know you've been running around here as well, getting stuff prepared, getting interviews, sending emails. We're doing just about everything we can so that way once kind of this Friday hits, we know that we're off and running, and then once September 5th hits, you almost get into that kind of that nice little groove here on the Line.
Oh yeah, happy Tuesday. Yeah, definitely a morning, a little bit busy morning, a lot of emails, a lot of just making sure that we're all set to go, that we have our equipment, but it's going to be such a fun week this week, a fun day today, fun day Friday as well, as we're going to be at Winter Timber Outdoors on Friday, August 21st. As ESPN 106.7's On the Line and The Drive will be coming to you live on location. Stop in and celebrate the big one-year anniversary with us and Winter Timber Outdoors. Stop by and see us on Friday, then come back on Saturday for Winter Timber Outdoors Customer Appreciation Day. Kick off the hunting season as well as the high school football season with free food, giveaways, and huge sales throughout the store. Be sure to join us Friday. Us, me, myself, and Christian Griffin will be there from 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Then Bill Cameron, Don Dunn, and The Drive will take the baton there from 4 to 6 at Winter Timber Outdoors in Auburn. It's, you know, if you don't know where Winter Timber Outdoors is, it is on...
First, shame on you.
Yeah, first, shame on you, obviously. But it's on Opelika Road and Suge Jordan East University. I think that's where it, like, splits into one or the other, I believe. I could have that wrong. I don't know. But it is right there near the mall, right across from the mall is the easy way to put it, right there.
Neighborhood Walmart,
yeah. No free pub, but, I mean, that's just kind of a landmark.
Yeah, that's... kind of where you need to be. But that's Friday. Happy Tuesday. Welcome in, everybody. Appreciate everybody for spending some time here with us on ESPN 106.7. Diving more into the AP Top 25 here this afternoon. Some more overreactions that we want to be able to share. Also, again, kind of re-hit where Auburn sits. Also, who Auburn plays. And then our favorite thing ever. Because with how much we love preseason rankings, preseason polls, I refuse... I can't say I refuse because it's probably something I'll end up talking about tomorrow or something. But there's a new bracketology that came out, and Auburn dropped a lot of places for some odd reason. But not hitting on that here this afternoon. But we do want to be able to take a moment and reflect and laugh and just share some fond memories on why preseason rankings suck. Because we have last year's Week 1 AP poll and how, oh man, it's so right, it's so accurate, and I guess I understand that these people have the impossible job of, okay, this is what we hope works out, but it never does. Double-digit teams that started in the AP Top 25 finish the season unranked. So it'll be fun to be able to dive into a lot of that here this afternoon. Then we're going to make the correlation of, yeah, it's weird. You look at the AP, the preseason top 10, and then you also look at CBS Sports article about the $40 million rosters and the $50 or $60 million teams that are in there as well. And it's a weird correlation of the video game kind of mindset of you pay to win or you pay to play. It's kind of what we know college football to be, in a weird correlation that the teams that spend the most are expected to do the best. And so excited to dive into all of that before we move into hour number two. The phone lines are open for the first hour of today's program. You can be a part of it at 334-784. Nope, that's the text box. 334-321-1390. You can always give us a call there. And let that phone light up next to Tripp. He'll get you on the phone lines. You can be on the line. Give us any of your thoughts here this afternoon. The Send Medicine text box always open as well at 334-784-1685. Text box, as always, brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20-plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven health care to the Plains. You can find out more and become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com. Again, senmedicine.com. And we start today's show by talking a little bit more about that AP Top 25, because I was sitting on the couch last night looking at it again. It popped back up on the feed, and it was just like, that team? Really? This team here?
Huh.
Wow, interesting. Any of those teams that stand out to you before I hit the ones that stand out to me?
I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. You look at teams like Penn State, where they have, I don't think that they're the 18th most talented team in the country, but they have the schedule that you're going to look up and, wow, Penn State's in the playoff. Matt Campbell is a good coach. And then they're going to probably have to go on the road in that like 8-9 game to, you know, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Norman, Oklahoma, Austin, Texas, and they're going to get stomped on. And then they're going to be like, wow, this team was really, really fake. That's an interesting one to me. I know that a lot of people are high on Michigan this season. And I think that there is – I've seen this tape floating around that, like, this is a different Michigan team. You have to throw out last season's struggles. You have a new head coach that's more focused on the field than off the field. You have a quarterback coach for the first time in Bryce Underwood's career. And, you know, he is the day one starter. You don't have Mikey Keene there anymore. And you bring a Kyle Whittingham defense. I think that's really interesting. I don't know if I believe in them as like a playoff team. I have to look at the schedule, but I think Michigan's really interesting there as well.
Michigan is very, very much an interesting team. Looking at Oklahoma, and not somebody that I'm going to discredit for being in that number 10 spot, but ESPN released the article that says, has stats to know about each of these teams. The Sooners don't have back-to-back road games all season. That's a very interesting way of going about a schedule, just from the standpoint of, even if you fall in a road game, that means at worst you have a bye or you go back home to Norman, Oklahoma. That puts you in a decent frame of mind, knowing that two out of every 3 weeks are going to be favored towards you at the worst.
Right, and I think that you look at what some of those road games are, like, yes, you have to go to Athens, Georgia early in the season as well. That'll be, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if College Game Day is there. I wouldn't be surprised if the fanfare for that game is going to be two undefeated teams matching up for who's going to be the front runner in the SEC. Two elite quarterbacks in Gunnar Stockton and John Mateer. I mean, you still got to play Texas, though. That's a tough game for Brent Venables and this squad.
You mentioned Penn State, and that's the team that I will throw out first. Sitting at number 18 feels like a logo spot to me. I know that that's Iowa State, and if it was, would Iowa State be the 18th ranked team in the country?
I actually don't know. I think that they – I like Rocco Beck. I think that he's kind of underrated in college football. But I think that they probably wouldn't be, because there'd be a lot of question marks on the trenches. I don't think that's something that you don't have that signature Iowa State offensive lineman that's come out of there. You have good skill guys. I mean, Charlie Kolar at tight end was really, really solid there. Breece Hall, David Montgomery, Brock Purdy at quarterback. They had really good wide receivers. Alan Lazard was one of them. I'm forgetting one off the top of my head that was like a Biletnikoff finalist, but he was really good as well.
Let me pull up that name. It's not Evan Boyd, is it?
Hold on.
Not Overby. That's this year.
It's a name that
that I should know.
That we should know. Yeah. Xavier Hutchinson.
Oh.
Jalen Noel, Hakeem Butler. That was the one I was thinking of. I mean, all of these guys were phenomenal. But then you look at, you know, and if there's any offensive linemen, there's, again, it pulls up. It says there's not any.
Not any. Penn State is the first one for me. When you look at some of these others that are sitting in the others receiving votes, Clemson received 112 votes, only 5 votes behind Missouri, who had 117. And then there's a big jump from, it's basically like the AP had, we're going to have 24 teams that we know that we love to put in there. And then 25 through 35, you can kind of just put them wherever.
Your government mandated Missouri at 25.
Exactly. And it was like, yeah, like, we'll just put it in there because we know that we need to. Louisville's the 24th ranked team with 198 votes. And so you talk about a big time jump and then another big time jump with Houston up to 23rd. And Houston's one of those teams for me that I don't want to say that they're not going to improve, but 10-3 last year with Connor Wegman, that's going to be a tall task. I know that we kind of hit on that Houston schedule not too long ago. But it's the others receiving votes are the ones that also stand out to me. Florida with 51 votes received. You have South Carolina with 10. You have Vanderbilt with 8. You also have Oklahoma State with 8. Talk about a new coach, a new team. And
yeah.
Then Auburn with 3.
Right. I think that you.
By no means am I making the argument that Auburn needs to be in the top 25. That's not what I'm saying. But.
But you look at these teams. I mean, you look at
Virginia Tech. The only reason that Virginia Tech got 6 is because of James Franklin. And I understand he brought a bunch of guys over, but.
I think it's interesting that Auburn has less votes than Jackson Arnold at UNLV. Just saying that as it is, although we've talked about their quarterback, the Michigan transfer taking over there. But you look at some other teams that they're around, Memphis, Ryan Silverfield is no longer there. And I think Charles Huff might've been a coaching upgrade. I think Charles Huff is a phenomenal coach. Yeah. The way that that Marshall ran him out of town after winning the Sun Belt was disgusting. California right below them, another new coach, Tupelo, I believe the Oregon, one of the Oregon coordinators over there at his alma mater. But like you're behind. I mean, do you think Auburn is better than Minnesota?
Minnesota.
I mean, are they 2 votes better? I don't know if I can confidently say that, Christian.
Georgia Tech got 4. James Madison also got 3. New Mexico got 4. Again, Virginia Tech with 6. Vanderbilt stands out to me with 8. I mean, feels like, again, that's a recency bias.
That's a
spot of, yeah, they did this last year. They should be able to reciprocate, right?
That's a I like Clark Lee vote, and I don't think that's a bad thing, but I think that this Vanderbilt team could easily fall into the trap of, man, this defense is going to play tough for 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also on the field for 60 minutes because the offense can't do anything outside of Cedric Alexander getting the ball.
It's an account that I have followed for quite some time, and I know I used a lot of it in the baseball side of things, but I'm a big pair ratings guy. I enjoy the graphics that they post out and the analytics that they use. They tweeted out something. This was either yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. It says the preseason strength of schedule rankings, and it's basically the value of how many wins an elite team would expect to have against your schedule. So this is almost what we have asked of the HUD rankings, but not being able to completely implement that. But if you threw in a quote-unquote elite team, and I know that word has a little bit of leeway with that. But if you put an elite team at Auburn's schedule, they win 9.5 football games. And it has every single team. It has Arkansas at number one, where an elite team only wins 8.8 games, or 8.88 games. Texas at number two, Ohio State at number three, Michigan at number four. But then you go, and this is what made me think of it, with UNLV, who is listed as the 130th ranked team, according to Payer Rankings, to where if you put an elite team with that schedule, they win 11.7 of their 12 games in the regular season. So you can do with that.
11, and you play 12 games in a regular season, correct?
Yeah. You basically, analytically, you win 11.7 of the 12 regular season games. Now, I'm not saying that UNLV is one of those elite teams in terms of what you're putting with college football, but just to show you the schedules.
Liberty, again, Liberty's got the softest schedule in the country, man, and they act like they are all high and mighty with 11.79. If you go with less than undefeated, you're not a good team. Goodness gracious. I mean, that's like the CUSA. I love the CUSA. Conference USA. Don't get me wrong. But like this rating is made for people like them. Looking at the lowest power conference team, Texas Tech is down there at 79. Virginia, I think that's the lowest power conference team at 11.19. Man.
Yeah, right in there at 81st, I believe you are. But which, again, that is if you are an elite team, if you're putting the standard of elite, funny enough, that it's what Auburn's putting everywhere. So we'll get to that standard. But, yeah, just to show you the differences in...
So what you're saying, Christian, just to... I want to ask this question. So... Let's say Auburn is at 9.4.
Yeah.
Let's round down to 9, just because it's, you know, 5 or above, you give it a shove, 4 and below, you keep it down. An Auburn 9-4 is the same thing as a...
9-3?
Yes, 9-3. I mean, yeah, you never know. Maybe they make it to
sure,
that.
Just wanted to make sure. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, a 9-3 Auburn schedule is the same thing for as an elite team as a... Texas Tech 11-win season.
Correct.
But Chris, I thought the SEC was awful. I thought the Big Ten was this power conference when you look at it where, I mean, yeah, they do have teams high up there, Ohio State, Michigan, Northwestern, Nebraska. Good for them. Defending national champion Indiana just outside the top 25. But if Indiana was to get 10 wins... That's the same thing as Auburn getting 9 wins in these, according to these metrics.
For a team that is top 2, maybe top 3 in the Big Ten versus a team that's projected to finish 11th or 12th in the SEC.
Yes, I mean, the lowest SEC team is still in the top 25 at the Georgia Bulldogs. Again, that just shows you what this Southeastern Conference is. Brandon, if you're still listening, Notre Dame is at 62. And somehow there are teams in the power conferences below Notre Dame, so maybe Notre Dame doesn't have a hard schedule after all.
62, I saw Notre Dame plays like 3 ranked games, and they were freaking out about it. It's like, wow, congratulations.
3?
yeah, 10.8
That's Auburn's October.
And many people consider Notre Dame to be one of those elite teams, so it's basically having them go 10-8 and 1.2 this season, which would guarantee them a spot in the college football playoff. I don't know. I enjoy looking at things like this and trying to make that comparison on. This is a perfect graphic for those that want to argue, oh no, it doesn't matter. If we go 8-4, we'd be able to go 8-4 in the SEC too. This is the perfect example of combining this with the AP top 25 to show you why there are 9 teams in the SEC ranked in the top 25.
I think this is what we were talking about with the S&P. It was like if you could put this team in this schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, elite team is...
Well, that's the only difference of this is an elite. This has an elite team
versus
which is,
your 2 standard deviations above average. I look at my math skills knowing that that's what the SD stands for.
But I'd still love to find a way to be able to plug in the exact
metrics,
roster,
yeah.
The exact team. Into
you could do it individually, but you wouldn't be able to do it in the schedule. Another team to note, those USF Bulls at 121. So basically, Brian Hartline could go undefeated as a head coach, and it'd be the same thing as Auburn going 9-3.
Indirectly.
Take that, Tampa media.
We'll take a break here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. When we come back, want to share a laugh with everybody and talk about how accurate last year's Week 1 AP poll was. We'll talk about that before we get to a lovely conversation of 40, 50, $60 million football rosters. All of that coming up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here and spending some time here with us. And wanted to spend a little bit of time looking at a tweet from the one and only Brett McMurphy, who tweeted out when the AP poll released at noon. This was yesterday. Remember that these 2025 preseason top 25 teams all finished last year unranked, and it makes my heart happy to scroll the comments. Maybe there shouldn't be a preseason poll until after week three. It's almost like there's no reason for polls to be released until mid-October. This is why we shouldn't have preseason rankings. It should just be a continuation of last year's rankings until it really changes. It's almost like a poll before week eight is pointless. Oh, I found my people. I found my people. Number 25, Boise State, finished unranked. Number 24, Tennessee, finished unranked. Number 22, Iowa State. Oh, what a great year. Finished unranked. Number 17, Kansas State. Finished unranked. Number 16, SMU. Great season. Finished unranked. Number 15, Florida.
I forgot Florida was a top
15 team in the country last year.
Wow. And keep in mind, Billy Napier was on the hot seat actively and was arguably behind a certain golf-playing, visor-wearing, non-swearing head coach, was probably the hottest seat in the SEC last season. And they were still number 15.
Thankfully, it can't get worse, right? South Carolina as the 13th-ranked team in the country. Illinois at number 12. Arizona State, you know, that quarterback that everybody's excited about.
Yeah, the one that apparently is going to walk right in and, you know, just win the SEC.
There were injuries, but that doesn't help my argument, so you can leave those out. And then you get to the top 10. And there's three teams in the top 10 that had legitimate national championship odds. A lot of people picked these three teams to win the national championship. Hand up, me included.
Hand up, me included.
Number 9, the LSU Tigers. The Bayou Bengals came in as the number 9 team in the country in the top 2025 preseason poll. The Clemson Tigers.
That one hurts.
Came in last year as the number 4 team in the country and finished unranked. And then number 2, the Nittany Lions of Penn State. All of these teams, which we just mentioned, were in the top 25 of Week 1's AP poll in 2025. Last year's, what we talked about yesterday and we're talking about today, this time last year when it was released, those were top 25 teams. Every single one of them finished unranked.
Really interesting to look here that you look at the teams. There are more non-SEC teams that didn't finish top 25 than SEC teams. You look at it, yes, LSU, South Carolina, Florida, and Tennessee. That's four. But then you look Boise State, Iowa State, Kansas State, SMU, Illinois, Arizona State, Clemson, Penn State. 8 of the 12 were out of the SEC. And yes, were there more SEC teams than any other conference? If you just look at conference by conference, close. I mean, Arizona State, Kansas State, Iowa State would have at least put you in the conversation for the Big 12. But that is, that's what happens when it seems like whoever is the lowest on the totem pole in terms of conference realignment. And you look at what like they have with like Arizona State coming from last to first. That happens like every year in the Big 12, it feels like. But it's really interesting with some of these teams. And you see some of these teams rated highly again. Tennessee, I say Iowa State is on here. They're not ranked, but Penn State is. effectively the same football team.
Yeah.
SMU, what did they do to improve from last year, Christian?
Correct.
Florida is not ranked this year, but they're at least receiving votes. I'd consider them number 27.
Basically, yeah.
South Carolina, receiving votes. Illinois, up there as well, receiving votes. LSU, another top 11 ranking. And Penn State, I mean, we said about Iowa State, but Penn State is up there as well.
It's wild to think about. Meanwhile, you had Alabama, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Georgia all make the college football playoff. So you talk about the teams that dropped out of the top 25 versus the teams that, A, were either in it or made their way to the big-time postseason last year. And so, I don't know. It makes my heart happy to just scroll these comments and see the preseason rankings are all about fun and tradition. There is no other reason. Yeah, I don't know if it's fun.
It's certainly – it gives that one team that's going to come out of nowhere the legitimacy to say, hey, we jumped in and surprised everyone. It leads for better TV. I'll give them that when it's a Georgia Tech beats a Florida State or an App State beats a Michigan. Leads for better TV, even though that team might finish 3-9.
But it doesn't matter. It's a top 25 win. It's a program and a resume building win for a top 25 that finishes with 4 regular season wins. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we will make a correlation between the AP top 10 and $40 million rosters throughout college football.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin here in the studio with you. Appreciate everybody for spending some time here with us on ESPN 106.7. And our favorite conversation other than talking preseason polls is talking money and talking NIL, right? Because thankfully in the world, money is not a sensitive subject. It's not something that you try and avoid talking about with family and friends or your bosses or coworkers or anything like that. And so because of that, in the world of college football, we're just going to have a crazy gray area with what it comes to dollar signs in college football. We can have evaluations and we can have, yeah, this roster may spend this much or this roster may spend this much, but why would we know the exact amount of what a player is able to make when you could throw it under the rug or you can put it in a Walmart or a McDonald's bag or whatever the case may be? And or now you don't even have to do any of that. It's just like, okay, thank you so much. Your direct deposit will be there tomorrow morning and you can do what you so please. But with the AP Top 25, I feel like there is a nice little segue into looking at some of the most expensive rosters in college football. And this is an article written by CBS Sports and want to be able to dive into that. But we do have some news coming up in hour number two that we just confirmed that we would like to be able to share with you on why you should be here and stick around. Not that you wouldn't anyways, but just in case you needed some more details on what's going on August 22nd and 23rd inside Neville Arena with On to Victory.
Yeah, joining us at 3:30 to promote this event is a former national champion.
Yeah.
First most. A former Auburn Tiger. A former Auburn Tiger quarterback of the Auburn Sports Network. Mr. Jason Campbell will be hopefully joining us there. And Neville Arena is the place to be on August 22nd and 23rd for the inaugural Card and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory. Head over to ontovictory.com/card show, all one word, to find out more about the two-day event featuring more than 150 vendor tables with a huge selection of sports cards, memorabilia, and collectibles, plus some vendors are even going to have Pokemon cards. Neville Arena will play host to all of that. Plus, there's going to be celebrity autographs from the likes of Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Dale Murphy, Andrew Jones, and Dominique Wilkins. Auburn will have their own celebrities and autographs and a chance to meet the various players and teams that will compete this season for Auburn University Athletics. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and experiences to further enhance your time at the On to Victory card show. If you're a card collector, autograph collector, or just a fan of Auburn sports, as we all are, or most of us are, I assume, then August 22nd and 23rd will be the two-day fan experience like no other. Aubie, yes, Aubie is planning on being there both days, and there's going to be a kid zone with activities to make those 2 days even more memorable. For more information on ticketing, pricing, a schedule of events, and to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit ontovictory.com/card show, all one word, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory today. Legendary athletes along with Auburn student athletes, that's ontovictory.com/card show. Card show is one word.
Boom. So really excited to bring Mr. Jason Campbell back onto our program for him to be able to not only promote this, but also talk a little ball, which I know that he'll be happy to do so, talking about this Auburn football team. And we are planning on getting back to Auburn football here in just a little bit, here in hour number two. Some really cool stuff, some notes about a receiver that I think Auburn fans are going to want to know. Maybe some also intel about other receivers that are good, maybe not so great, that I want to be able to highlight. And also, we've gotten a couple of texts in the on-the-line text box and haven't talked about it quite yet because we want to be able to really do our due diligence and really be able to spend some time. And, partner, I know you're wanting to talk a lot about it. The Auburn band video,
yes,
with Auburn football. Want to be able to hit on that for a little bit. But to preface, if you have not seen that yet, go and watch it. It's about 4 minutes of Auburn football and Alex Golish talking to his team in the meeting room, and then him bringing the band director and I don't know if it's a third of the band or whatever. It's obviously not everybody, but them going out there and saying, all right, defense, this is what you're going to hear when you take the field. Offense, this is what you're going to hear when you take the field. This is what you hear in the fourth quarter. And then let's hear the fight song and talking about a lot of the quotes that the band director and, again, all of the players had. And a really, really cool video, really nicely done by Auburn and nicely done by Golish, too, because, again, 20 years.
I just don't understand how that's never, like, that seems like a day one thing. I know that Nick Saban did that at Alabama. We're going to talk more about it, so I'm going to have to, like, save my thoughts. But if you haven't seen it, go watch it, because effectively what it is Alex Golish cut open your vein and pumped in as much Auburn, as much Tumors lemonade. That's the experience that I got watching that video. So if you're an Auburn fan, you need to go watch that video. It will fire you up. I saw a Tennessee fan even saying, like, in 10 years, because of stuff like this, we're going to wish we kept Golish instead of Heupel. So we'll break it all down in hour number two before we talk to Jason Campbell about this. But speaking of NIL, speaking of money, speaking of collective funds, this list of who spent what in college football, Christian, is just absolutely absurd.
It's crazy to think, and again, the weird correlation that it has. Talking about the most expensive rosters in college football after polling 50-plus industry insiders asking what they know about their teams being spent. And the fact that that's how it's worded, and it's not just, okay, let's go look at payroll, let's go look at whatever the case may be.
Well,
it's,
you know, Christian, surely with public institutions that the payroll would be public, wouldn't you think?
You would think so, but nobody really knows what anything is anymore. So why would you know anything about anything when it comes to anything about anything with college football?
Yeah.
Exactly. Believe it or not, newsflash, breaking news. Bam, 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 bam.
Bum, 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 bum.
Thank you. LSU is listed as the very first team in this article with a price tag more than $40 million, and many are believing it's upwards of $50 million. Jordan Seaton, their offensive tackle, is listed as their big-time price tag.
Are you someone...
I mean, the Portal King at it again.
Are you someone that looks at a guy like Jordan Seaton, who went to Colorado and was good enough there? I mean, it was more of just the, let me jump on the Deion Sanders hype train, which I'm surprised he's even going to be allowed to talk about it, given the fact that no one's going to be able to talk about what's going on in Colorado for the foreseeable future, especially on the media side of things. But having him as the top guy in this class, despite arguably more impactful players and better players at their position than Jordan,
Seton is one of the highest non-paid quarterbacks in the country, valued at more than $4 million annually.
I think that with the Nike deal that a lot of these athletes signed, it'd be like the quarterback or like the star running back. Seton was the only non-skilled position player to get one of those deals with Nike.
Not that you're not welcoming it if you are Jordan Seton, but you better rise to all of those expectations that you're already getting, because the first time you allow a sack, if it's in week one against Clemson, you're going to be absolutely dog walked.
Yes, for a freshman All-American and a second team All-Big 12 last season. I mean, to be fair, if anyone looked semi-competent on that Colorado offensive line that season, they were going to get literally whatever honor they wanted. So good on Jordan. But I think that the guys we should be talking about are guys like Sam Levitt, guys like Prince Will Umanmilian. That's a name. And guys like...
You went for that.
Yeah. I mean, a name I know pretty well, Malik Blockton.
Yeah.
The transfer from Kansas State at wide receiver.
Yeah, Jace Brown.
Jace Brown, that's the guy you should be highlighting. I don't think Seton, but again, tackle's a premium position, and a healthy Sam Levitt is better than no Sam Levitt, I guess.
Yeah, LSU is in a tier of its own this year, said an SEC front office staffer. Right behind them is Miami with Darian Mensah and that whole dramatic situation going from Duke to Miami. And it says no school embraced NIL and rev share quite like Miami. I'd be willing to argue that statement because I think there's a couple other ones, one of them being a team that just won the national championship. But Darian Mensah broke away from a $4 million contract at Duke to go play for the Hurricanes. Also, you have guys like Damon Wilson, you have Malachi Toney, and you have Jackson Cantwell. Says Miami might be the most aggressive school in the country from an NIL perspective, and it's paid off with back-to-back 10-win seasons, a national runner-up last year. But I know you're not somebody that necessarily believes in the man who gets to wear the headset each and every Saturday.
Literally, my next comment was going to be a lot of money spent to cover up that they've got a below-average head coach, especially with game management. I will say, though, he is a talent acquisition genius. Darian Mensah, phenomenal at Duke last season. Malachi Toney, phenomenal. Freshman offensive tackle Jackson Cantwell, another guy that I would say kind of falls into the Jordan Seton's. Like, how are you going to put that investment in a lineman right now? But I think that this is a guy that could do that. But hey, the results are speaking for themselves. It's just a matter of time before big game, close game Mario Cristobal comes back and just absolutely refuses to kneel.
What does Miami football schedule look like? I have not.
They probably play.
I have not hit this. They go.
All right,
they go to Stanford.
Win.
They host Florida A&M, which is a win. They go to Wake Forest, which is a win. Central Michigan, which is a win. Clemson on the road. You could even skip that one for now. Florida State at home, that's probably a win. Pittsburgh at home.
Probably a win, but I mean, Pittsburgh has been, as much as I don't like Pittsburgh either, that's a big meteor game for me.
Mm-hmm.
That would be I think that they could win that game.
You have North Carolina on the road.
With Billy Edwards Jr., their starting quarterback. Yeah. And if Tiger fans remember that name, quarterback at Maryland during the Music City Bowl, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Should be a win at Notre Dame. It's a big – I remember that being – I think that week 10.
Brandon, I'm riding – I think Notre Dame wins that game. And I don't think it's relatively close either.
That's crazy. You then have – this is one of those games that, man, you wish it was the other way around. Duke goes to Miami. Why can't Miami go to Duke?
What kind of home environment are they going to be stepping into at Duke, though?
Just from the standpoint of Mensah returning.
I know that, but again, let Duke be
8-3 at the time, or 8-7-3 at the time, whatever the case may be.
That's also an underrated revenge game for Manny Diaz, who was the head coach at Miami following Mark Richt stepping away. And then you go, okay, well, we have a chance to hire our prodigal son, Mario Cristobal. Let's fire an actually decent coach who just hadn't gotten the offense quite figured out yet. And then he goes to Penn State as defensive coordinator, puts up record numbers. Then is now the head coach at Duke and won them an ACC championship year one. Another one where I could see it the defense, that's going to be a defensive matchup. And if Mensah, if Diaz is able to use Mensah against himself, that could be an upset.
It's just one of those, again, Stanford, Florida A&M, Wake Forest, and Central Michigan. That's 4-0. And then you're going to end 3-0 with Duke, Virginia Tech, and Boston College. So that's 7 right there. If you get 2 more, just based off of recency bias, they'll do what they can to get Miami into the playoff, even if it's an at-large bid.
I mean, if a Miami is an ACC champion, is 10-2, do you think they get in with losses to Notre Dame and Clemson?
Yes.
I would say it depends how good Clemson is, though.
Still, if they were the champion, then yes, they would.
Oh, well, yes, that would make sense. Auto bid.
Yeah.
I forgot.
But even if you were 10-2 with a loss, let's say Clemson you get, at Notre Dame, I think you get an at-large.
Well, what if you get upset in the conference championship to SMU? Maybe that's a better.
Well, I'm saying if it was an at-large and you don't even play in the championship game.
Okay, makes more sense. Then no, I don't think. I don't know. Depends on the SEC.
The ACC being that third team, exactly. Depends on what the SEC looks like. Still runs through the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame also right on this list. CJ Carr, obviously being one of their big price tags, also a top five class in 2026. Onto another one here in 2027. You have Ohio State. What? No way. Jeremiah Smith. The fact that, not that I disagree with the rule of having to play college football, but the fact that there is not a single team that would not be like, yeah, I'll draft him 1-1 in next year's draft if he didn't have to play in college, or even last year. The fact that, I mean, this is the best player in college football.
Yeah, and it's the fact that he, because of what position demands are, he's not going to be the number one overall pick is absurd. I mean, I said that about Marvin Harrison when he was in college. I thought he should have been a number one overall pick.
Oregon right there with Dante Moore. The ability to keep him a top two draft target from the quarterback position, not even draft target or quarterback target, just arguably the number one overall pick, and says, you know what, Phil Knight, you got me. You got me. I'll return for another year and go play in Eugene.
And then you bring in Dylan Raiola as the next guy up. He's going to learn a lot in this offense. Coy Perich, the two-way safety, that's a defense that, like, he is phenomenal, an all-former first-team All-Big Ten safety. That's going to be such an underrated addition. I don't think enough people are talking about.
The fact that Texas sits right here, I think, is very, very funny. And it goes to show you the overall gray area, because it says nobody outside of Austin is buying that this roster is not well over $40 million. The math does not add up. And they have Cam Coleman as their big price tag, which, happy for you, man.
Yeah.
With tears, but happy for you.
I love the quote, all the money that's not in the Vatican is up at UT, is such a phenomenal quote.
I could just say UT or just T for Texas, because Texas A&M is right in there. You obviously know that Texas Tech, right off the $40 million line, it says, before we get to break, it has Georgia, it has Michigan, it has Ole Miss, it has Tennessee, it has USC that are right around that $40 million line. And so, again, the fact that nobody really knows what anybody spends, we just know that based off of names, it should be a lot, it is a lot, but Auburn, not on this list, but a couple of teams that the Tigers will play do sit on this list, and they sit inside the top 10 of the AP poll as well. And so just a weird correlation between the two that, you're telling me that the more you pay, the better you'll be able to play. Crazy concept, right?
Absolutely.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Flip to the Auburn football side of things to get us started here in hour number two.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrap it up. Hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, or that Radio Alabama app. And while we have just a few minutes, really, really excited again for the high school season to get underway. Again, just a couple of days. It feels like every hour we continue to count it down. And Tomorrow's show, especially hour number one, it'll start a lot of our high school coverage. We will have Coach Jacob Osmond, the interim coach for Lee Scott Academy, joining us at 2:10. We will also have Coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School joining us at 2:30 to go, both of them to give you everything you need to know about not only their week one matchups, Lee Scott Academy taking on the Glenwood Gators, Auburn High School taking on Hewitt Trustful, both teams at home on Friday night, but also just to give you an overall look at the team, an overall look at the storylines that are surrounding both the Tigers and the Warriors. Really, really excited to pick that up with both head coaches and to be able to pick their brains on what we're going to see on both sidelines here this season.
Yeah, really excited for that. I mean, I think these are two top teams. We were looking at some of the projections last night. I was able to send to you guys with kind of the Massey ratings. If y'all haven't looked at those, they rank every single sport humanly possible, if it feels like. And they have Auburn, I think, rated as the number three team in the state right now, only behind the Red Devils and the Warriors of Thompson. So I know we'll be fired up, Lee Scott. The ratings I disagree with, because I think they have y'all at, granted, keep on 300, 400 schools in Alabama, 150, so about in the middle. But I disagree with the spread that they're given for. I'm taking the underdog, Lee Scott, for sure.
I'd love to. Wouldn't complain if that were to be the case. But really excited to continue that. Also, continuing to work things out. We've been sending all sorts of emails, getting all sorts of yeses, but just trying to figure out the time slots that will work best for our interviews. For that little around the state segment, again, everybody falls under that umbrella of Auburn and Alabama, but the secondary schools or your alma maters, again, there's such rich history, there's such tradition that goes on and takes place with these other schools. And so in communications with a lot of head coaches, a lot of SIDs, trying to work things out to where we can give a deep dive into all of the other teams at the university level around the state of Alabama, because we understand the tradition, we understand the history, we understand the value and what college football means here in the state of Alabama. And so whether that's from the high school level or whether that's from the college level as well, we are very, very excited to continue to bring the best coverage that we possibly can here on ESPN 106.7. Hour number one in the books. We'll turn the page to the Auburn Tigers, talk transfer portal receivers. Also, again, play that Auburn band in the Auburn football video, because it brings you chills. It fires up just about everybody. And the national championship winning coach, Mr. Jason Campbell, joins us here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line right after this.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
A new Auburn transfer wide receiver, learning the fight song, and a national champion. It's hour two on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
We are right here on ESPN 106.7. Christian is currently pulling audio that we're going to be able to play later in the show of what was going on in the player practice room today, the meeting room today, with the Auburn marching band, as well as Coach Golish and these Tigers. But it's Tripp Upton here kicking off hour number two, and it's been a great show today here on the Tuesday, August 18th edition of On the Line. Looking at this show today, we talked about the AP Top 25 poll again, looking at some over ratings, some under ratings. Who does Auburn play? Where does Auburn sit in these ratings? We also looked at the AP poll from last season, the preseason poll, and looked at a lot of teams that didn't finish where they were and, in fact, finished out of the top 25 altogether. Just to remind you, spoiler alert, if you didn't already know, preseason rankings are pointless. We also talked a little bit about this Friday night with the Lee Scott Warriors heading back to a renovated Judd Scott Field to take on the Glenwood Gators. Meanwhile, my Auburn High Tigers taking on the Hewitt Trustful Huskies in a top 11 matchup in the state. Come on. We did that. All of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, make sure to catch it up with the podcast edition of the show on ESPNAU.com or wherever you get your audio podcast. And hour number two, we're going to talk to a national championship winning quarterback and a member of the Auburn Sports Network. Mr. Jason Campbell is going to join to preview why Neville Arena is going to be the place to be on August 22nd and 23rd with the On to Victory inaugural card and memorabilia show. We'll also look at this video that Christian is kindly getting audio for of what the band was doing at Auburn's practice today and why that, if that doesn't build you confidence for an Auburn fan, then frankly, you might not be an Auburn fan, because that video fired us up and it should fire you up. We're going to play a little bit of it over the air, so that's why I am doing the intro. We'll also look at Auburn's new transfer portal wide receiver and see why a Troy Trojan is making his way up thanks to a court ruling in his favor. Phone lines are going to be open for the first 30 minutes of the hour. Go ahead, give us a call, 334-321-1390. Again, phone lines will be open for the first 30 minutes as Mr. Jason Campbell will be joining us on the phone lines at 3:30. The Sin Medicine text box, though, is wide open 24-7, 365. Shoot us a text right there, 334-7841-OTL. The text box is brought to you by Sin Medicine. At Sin Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With over 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sin is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting sinmedicine.com. SENNmedicine.com. That phone number one more time is 334-784-1685. That's a great way to contact us 24/7 to be able to, if we're asking an interview, if you have a question for our guests, if you want to ask us any quick hitters, any observations you guys have. I'm sure a lot of you, if you've seen the video we're going to play, are going to have some thoughts about it. Make sure to do that. But if you want to be able to hang out with us on August 21st on this Friday, come on down to Winter Timber Outdoors as ESPN 106.7 is live on location. We'll be there 2 to 4 for On the Line. And then the drive will take over. Bill Cameron, Coach Don Dunn joins them usually on Fridays from 4 to 6. Stop by and see us on Friday as a part of Winter Timber Outdoors' one-year anniversary here in Auburn. Then make sure you go back on Saturday for their Customer Appreciation Day. Kick off hunting season with free food, giveaways, and huge sales throughout the store. Be sure to join us this Friday from 2 to 6 at Winter Timber Outdoors in Auburn to kick off the hunting season. I'm calling it the unofficial kickoff of the high school season. I know we got some games on Thursday. I mean, Central Phoenix City Thompson that night will be phenomenal, but all eyes should turn to Duck Sanford Stadium, their newly renovated Judd Scott Field. And if all ears, if you're not going to be able to be there, should be on Wings 94.3, AU 100.3, and on the Radio Alabama app for those kind of things. And Christian, first of all, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Didn't have your mic on. Sorry.
There we go. Thank you, sir.
Good. Yeah, glad to have you back. You were pulling the audio for us. But Christian, now that we got all the business out of the way, I want to ask your thoughts on some news that broke a little bit earlier in the past, probably 24 hours, with a new addition joining the Auburn Tigers late in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, feels as if you never truly know anymore when the transfer portal is closed versus the transfer portal being open, because you're starting to see, again, whether those are the fifth-year guys, whether those are guys that just hadn't found a home from the transfer portal. But yes, a class from 2022, again, giving guys the ability to play their fifth season. Auburn makes a late addition to its wide receiver unit. Trey Taylor joining the program From Troy, again, hasn't been cleared to practice quite yet, but is expected to make his way down and begin practice with the Tigers very, very soon, and joins a wide receiver room that is down a player from Duke Smith being taken away from the program. And so you talk about how you're never going to complain about getting depth, getting anything on that side of things. And although, again, you say what you want about the 5-for-5, about bringing in guys like this, it doesn't feel as if there's going to be many complaints outside of that, because at the very worst, you now have another guy in that receiver room, and you're never going to complain about having those types of numbers.
Looking at what he was able to bring to the table last season in 2025, it's kind of stepping up to be one of the primary targets for the Trojans. 30 catches, just a yard under 500 at 499. But was a bit of a deep play threat, averaged 16 yards a reception. I think that that's going to be something that Coach Alex Golish is going to love him in that slot, being able to work, take a linebacker with him, force them to play a nickel or a dime, because you can't put somebody slower than him on the field because he's going to be able to run laps. Also got a couple carries in the backfield, but got about 10 and got 52 yards.
Yeah, 52 yards, a touchdown on the ground. This could be a big-time depth piece, but also a big-time deep threat for the Tigers. Started at Tyler Junior College in Texas. And at Coastal Carolina as well, had 18 grabs for 262 yards in 2024 at Coastal before transferring to Troy in 2025. So a little bit of the small-bodied slot receiver, but you're never going to complain about speed. You're never going to never complain about having enough guys, having too many guys that can catch the football, that can block downfield as well, because Alec Golish has used that number anywhere from 6 to 8 wide receivers that he would love to be able to put on the field at any given time, because if you're running 11 personnel, that gives you 3 wide receivers, and that gives you 2 deep in every single one of them, and then also a 7th receiver and an 8th receiver as well. And we know all about the Keyshawn Singletons, the Jeremiah Cogers, but Deshaun Spencer, Christian Neptune, guys like that continue to be very, very impressive, much less the guys that were here last year, like a Sam Turner, that are expected to have really, really big seasons. And so very excited to be able to dive a little bit more into this team as we continue to catch you down to college football season. But a big time pickup for the Auburn Tigers, a depth piece at the bare minimum that you never feel like you're going to complain about.
For sure. I think that he's going to be a big addition there, and it's going to be really interesting to see what this team, I think, well, correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard some reports about, you know, maybe Bryce Kane being moved around, practicing with the defensive backs. I think that that's also interesting, because that's another person in this wide receiver room that might be getting moved around, where you need to bring in somebody else for depth.
Yeah, something that which goes to show you why adding Taylor makes even more sense, because, yes, there have been some discussions and some conversations. I believe this was Justin Ferguson that made the first announcement for it, talking about Bryce Kane taking snaps in the secondary. And so I don't believe that that is a shot whatsoever towards Bryce Kane. I think it's more the fact of, man, his speed is such a difference maker on the field. He has the quick twitch of a wide receiver, and so if he could find a way to play in that secondary at some spot, I guess it's unfortunate just from the standpoint of him sticking it around at Auburn, being that one receiver that stuck it out from the freeze four, but yes, him playing some more reps in the secondary makes even more sense, adding another receiver to be able to come in and fill a couple of spots where Auburn may be a little bit thinner.
I couldn't agree more. Definitely a position of a lot of need, because you look at what the history's been. I know you have a lot of unproven guys, but if snaps are up for grab, and this team being and Coach Alex Golish being as intentional as they are, they saw that this was a need, and I would not be surprised if, given the scrimmage and given the availability, this came together very quickly.
Yeah, and again, I don't think that it's more of a negative towards Bryce or towards anything like that. I think it just goes to show even more credit to A guy like Deshaun Spencer, a guy like Christian Neptune, who we've both been hearing just absolutely raving in summer camp and in fall camp, and putting on weight as well. I know that was one of the biggest things that Spencer wanted, and reports are that he put on 15 pounds before fall camp. And so you talk about being able to fit that mold of a big yet a fast receiver that Alex Golish wants to be able to have, to where it's just such a threat for so many different teams, because you have so many different formations, you have so many different types of receivers that you can plug in place just about everywhere. And that's something that we'll be able to talk about with Mr. Jason Campbell, talking about those receivers coming up at 3:30. But want to take a little bit of an early break, because when we come back, do want to be able to dive into this little video that Auburn tweeted out yesterday afternoon, also the one that I tweeted out earlier as well. But the Auburn band coming to meet Auburn football in the meeting room, and hearing those guys just go absolutely crazy when the band starts playing all of the songs. Want to be able to play that for you. Here's, we're just underway here in hour number two on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us and continuing our little mini deep dive into Auburn football here this afternoon. A couple of videos have hit the timeline from Auburn football, Auburn Tigers on the socials, and two really, really cool videos. Want to hit one before the other one that was released this morning, and it was the video of Golish. I think it was the War Eagle Plus preview of Golish talking to the team in the huddle, talking about the mindset, talking about it's if I want it or if I don't, and wanted to first off send my, not even condolences, but my thoughts to the entire media team for now having to be able to blank audio, because previously that did not happen. And so with Golish's fieriness, there's now a little bit more work to have to play a little bit of Alex Golish audio in terms of getting his team fired up. There's a couple of just word breaks in there that are pretty funny for me to think about, but it's exactly what you want in a football coach. And I think that fires me up. I don't know. Have you been able to see that one?
I don't think I've seen that one. I've seen the one that we're about to play, though.
But yes, and this one is incredible. But just listened to that one last night and was laughing at the fact of thinking about how much work, if there's a student or two that had to work last year versus this year, it's like there's a lot more editing that has to go on behind the scenes of making sure that we can play that on social media. But I absolutely love it. It fires me up. But so does this video right here. And this is something that was released this morning talking about Alex Golish and bringing the band into meeting with the football team, just so that way, to, I guess, familiarize them with some of the songs, but also just to fire them up here on a Tuesday and a Monday afternoon. But played this on this this morning, and so just a really, really cool video. And so wanted to be able to play this for you, because we've gotten a lot of texts saying that we need to go watch it if we hadn't. We've seen it, but for anybody that hasn't seen it quite yet, here is the audio version of the band and the choir coming in to meet with Auburn football, Alex Golish and the entire staff, the entire team, firing them up, playing a little bit of music here with Auburn Tigers being on their socials.
The director of bands is coming in. The director of choir here is coming in to make sure your tone's ready.
They're like incredibly geeked to be here with y'all tonight, so make sure you guys love them on them. We're going to learn. Make sure we're going to fight about some of you know it, some of you don't.
War Eagle!
War Eagle!
All right, guys, hey, so glad to be here. I said 20 years. First time I've been asked to come over and engage with you guys like that, so hats off by Paul's Coach Golish and the staff for wanting us all to be on the same page.
It doesn't matter game time, it doesn't matter opponent, it doesn't matter weather, it doesn't matter whether it's the first minute or the last minute, we're always the same for you guys. We call that, in our team room, we call that being thermostats. So we don't want to be a thermometer, we'll be a thermostat where we set the temperature for what we do. Defense. defense. We're all the defense folks in the room. So when you all come on the field, you're going to get a little rocky eye of the tiger for you. That's what brings the defense on the field. So there's 40 new players in here, right? Probably never heard any of this. So here we go. This is our first defense on the field.
That was pretty cool here on this Tuesday afternoon. Maybe fired some people up, gripped the steering wheel a little bit tighter while you kept it on the right side of the road, obviously. And if you were in town, you probably didn't press the gas. You just let off of the brake and if you went downtown. But hopefully fired you up. It fired me up the first time that I saw it. And if you haven't seen the video, again, highly recommend you go and watch it because you can watch all of the players. You obviously heard them going crazy talking about the thermostat rather than being the thermometer and all the players reacting to a quote like that. But then them all jumping up and down. It's almost like one of those NFL training camp videos that you see. And everybody is just together, and that's something that Alex Golish has been trying to complete with this team is the camaraderie. And I mean, obviously that was the biggest reason of eliminating every single distraction going into fall camp. And it's moments like that that are really, really cool. And hearing the band director and the choir talk about how he's been doing this for 20 years and he's never been asked to do something like that, which wild to me.
That's so shocking to me because you'd think that one of the biggest parts that separates college football from the NFL, in my opinion, is the fact that there is a band there and the connection with the fans that they both share. It's shocking to me that more programs don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, I assumed they did that because I know that Nick Saban did it at Alabama. He made it a point. Learn the fight song. I know when we talked about Gabe Gross with the Auburn baseball team, he made sure that they knew the fight song, even though they don't have a band there. I just assumed every program did this. I don't know why they haven't been doing that. I don't want to say malpractice, but I think that it adds to the atmosphere of what Jordan-Hare Stadium can be. If the marching band's in sync with the PA director, in sync with the team, in sync with the cheerleaders, in sync with the mic man, make it one environment instead of some things. What we've seen is they're playing this, but they're going hurry up, so they can't really do anything. There needs to be communication and camaraderie, as you said it and put it so eloquently. That fires me up that Coach Golish is intentional enough knowing this is what you're going to hear when you run on the field. This is what defense is going to hear on third down. This is what you're going to hear in between the third and the fourth quarter with swag surf. That kind of stuff is going to prove that he's going to buy into Auburn. Brian Harsin wouldn't have done this. He would have found a way to get the Boise State fight song down here. Hugh Freeze shockingly didn't do it. He was more worried about what time his tea time is. Alex Golish is worried about Auburn football. That is it. And part of that is making sure everything is intentional, and that's what they were able to do.
Making it one unit. I feel like that's a very, very big – it's a very important thing, as you mentioned it, the music with Rick Smith and the PA and the band and everything, that it works together rather than almost – feeling disjointed. And by no means has the Auburn band or the music anything like that.
No, because it's been phenomenal.
That's been the best part of everything over the last handful of years. But making that one unit is so cool. We talk about the Iron Bowl period, right, to where Auburn's going to hear Dixieland Delight in between the third and the fourth quarter, and Alex Golish and his staff has intentionally made that segment hell for the players, so that way they know this is about to be the final 15 minutes of the regular season. You're trained to hate that music. You're trained to remember the 95-degree days, the 110-degree days that it feels like on a football field when you hear that music. This is a different type of that. This is what I hear when I take the field for the first time in Jordan-Hare Stadium. This is what I hear on third and eight when I need to get a stop and get the football back to the offense when they lead 20-17 halfway through the fourth quarter. This is what we hear when we get a first down, we're at midfield, and we're draining the clock. This is what we hear when we have 15 minutes left to go inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, because there's something about protecting your home field that hasn't been done lately. That's turned Jordan-Hare Stadium into just another stadium over the last handful of years. It's things like this that change that. It's things like this that bring Auburn football back to what it was, back to what it needs to be, and back to the greatness that we know that it can get to.
Chills. Literal chills in the studio here. I'm not making that up, but it's just, it goes to show that Alex Golish knows what he needs from this football program and what Auburn can be, and he needs everybody's help. He needs the fans. He needs the athletic administration. He needs Aubie to be there and fire up the fans. He needs the Auburn marching band. And if he can get all of that to buy in, the easiest part to him, coaching the football game.
Boom. We're bringing a guy that knows this Auburn football program quite well, that knows success quite well for Auburn football, and also knows a little bit about what's going on inside Neville Arena on August 22nd and 23rd. We bring in a national championship, the quarterback, the captain with the Auburn Sports Network. Jason Campbell joins us when we come back.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
More minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for spending some time here with us on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And we've talked so much about everything that's going on inside Neville Arena here over the next couple of weeks, and wanted to bring in a little bit of an insider, a little bit of an expert to not only talk about that, talk a little bit of ball as well. Well, we welcome in a national champion, a welcome national championship quarterback, the captain. You hear him on the Auburn Sports Network on Saturdays with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers as well. Jason Campbell taking some time to join us here on this Tuesday afternoon. My man, appreciate you and all that you do for the Auburn Sports Network and the Auburn family.
Thank you, guys, man. Appreciate the opportunity, and glad to be on with you.
Of course. Well, again, wanted your overall thoughts. Again, I know that you have a whole bunch of ties with the On to Victory, the card show coming on, the memorabilia show on August 22nd, August 23rd, inside Neville Arena. And so wanted to give you kind of just the floor and allow you to be able to talk about everything that's going on and why the Auburn family should make their way to Neville Arena here this weekend.
Yeah, this is an awesome event. You know, first and foremost, you know, On to Victory does an outstanding job. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is their first ever of this kind, and it's a very unique experience and something that they're looking forward to doing throughout the state and in the country as they continue. But this is the first of its kind. And, you know, this Saturday and Sunday is the On to Victory's card and memorabilia show. It's going to feature exclusive 150 to 200 plus vendors, also selling sports cards, memorabilia, collectibles. Also, we'll also have some celebrities that will be in the building as well, which I'll give you those names in a minute. But you're also going to have Auburn players there willing to sign autographs so kids can bring cards as well. So it's a unique event. It's going to be at Neville Arena, and it's going to be Saturday and Sunday. And like I said, the list just goes on. You just talk about the celebrities. When you talk about Dale Murphy, he'll be there Saturday mm-hmm. from 11 a.m. Central. Brian Jordan will be there from 12 p.m. Central. Chris Davis and Tim Hudson will be there at 2 p.m. Central on Saturday. And then Sunday, Dominique Wilkins will be there at 12 o'clock Central. So it's a great event, one of a kind. And tickets can be purchased as well, $16 per person for one day or $25 for both days. And like I said, it's just going to be a lot of fun. And if anybody wants more details, they can go to ontovictory.com/card.
Yeah, we've been able to talk a lot about this. You mentioned 150 vendor tables, Pokemon cards, and you mentioned all of the names that are making their way. Jason, were you a card collector growing up? Any baseball cards or anything during your time? Or is this still something that you are still working your way, still trying to build up the collection?
Now, I tell you what, I actually have a bunch of cards. So when they mention it, it just took me back in time because yeah. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I used to go to the grocery store, and right before you leave the grocery store, you always look over there and buy a deck of cards.
Always at checkout.
So I was one of those that bought a whole bunch of cards. I used to collect all of them. And I got probably about 10 magazines worth of cards back in my house.
You know, Jason, looking at what On to Victory has been able to do, and I think Auburn University as a whole, where you look at some of the concerts that they're bringing in to Jordan-Hare Stadium, Neville Arena, having events like this, having Nate Bargatze, having Ella Langley, talk about what that means to stay competitive in across all athletics in 2026 with these kind of events.
Well, it's big, right? You know, the college game has changed. You know, it's not the same that we knew it back in the day. You know, you're always trying to find new ways and new opportunities to involve the community, not just the players and the kids on scholarships to receive NIL. But this also gets the community involved. And like I said, like this Saturday and Sunday, they're going to have a lot of things for kids to do, a lot of games, cornhole. You get a chance to interact with people. So it's just a way to kind of bridge the gap where you're not just giving money to athletes, but you're also getting an opportunity to get an experience where you're meeting athletes, you're meeting different people, different celebrities, people that you see on TV that you get a chance to see in person and just have an open conversation with them. You know, we're all striving to be better at our jobs and our careers, but at the same time, we're all the same in a lot of ways. And so this just kind of bridged the gap between the community and the players and in this NIL space.
Former Auburn quarterback Jason Campbell here with us on the phone lines, and I think that's perfectly well said, just because you hear all about the anonymous donations or whatever the case may be, but that's just simply you're using your pen to write a number on a line, but there's zero experience that comes with that. You mentioned Saturday and Sunday, August 22nd, August 23rd, the inaugural card and memorabilia show presented by On to Victory. You can head over to ontovictory.com/card show, and card show is all one word. To find out more about that, again, 150 vendor tables. You have all sorts of legendary names, also current Auburn football and Auburn student athletes as well that are making their way, that are going to be present there to be able to sign autographs
drafts, as you mentioned, in the kids' zones. Aubie is going to be there, and so you feel like it, at no point other than just Aubie being there, that's worth the $15, $25 admission. Am I right?
Yes, Aubie will be there Saturday and Sunday as well. So all the kids and everybody want to get a picture with Aubie. You know, during the season, it's kind of hard to do because there's so many, you know, fans and everybody. But this is a unique opportunity, you know, for your kids to have an opportunity, or adults, you know, just take a picture with Aubie and enjoy him as well on Saturday and Sunday.
Awesome, my man. Well, again, we appreciate you for taking some time to talk about this. Wanted to ask you a question or two, a ball, if you don't mind, if you have a few extra minutes, because we know you've been able to spend a little bit of time around this new Alex Golish regime and your overall thoughts, your overall excitement as we count down to week one in Atlanta taking on the Baylor Bears.
And I tell you what, I'm excited about this football team in a lot of different ways. When I just think about Coach Golish and what he's doing to build the culture back, you know, you see the guys, you know, singing the fight song. You see them, you know, allowing the band to come in there and meet with them so that guys that come in as transfers, you know, to know more about what it means to be an Auburn Tiger, what it means to play in Jordan-Hare, you know, not just be here for a second and then gone, but to actually be a part of the program. And just what Coach Golish is doing, you know, putting the guys up in a room, you know, for 15, a hotel for 15 days together. When you think about players coming from high school, transfers, mixed in with players that was here a year ago, a lot of them don't get a chance to know each other once they leave the field in the evening time. So this is a perfect time to try to, you know, bridge the gap of the space really quick in a way where guys, when they see each other on the football field, there's a difference there because now I'm playing a little bit harder because I know my teammate. So understanding who you're playing with and why you're playing together makes a difference. But Coach Golish has been, he's been tough. He's been all about physical, changing the mentality, changing the narrative, getting Auburn back to what it's accustomed to being. And it's going to take a little time, but I like what I'm seeing right now from an intensity standpoint and the effort that him and his whole staff is putting in.
We're talking with former Auburn quarterback and national champion Jason Campbell. And Jason, I want to ask about your fall camp experiences. When you were an Auburn Tiger, what is this time like as a quarterback, as a team leader that can breed championship results? And how is Alex Golish trying to do that in these two-week span right now?
Yeah, the first thing is just trying to set the foundation, right? So you're trying to set the foundation who your leaders are. And then secondly is, what type of football team are we going to be? You write down your goals and things that you want to achieve as a team. And then you identify, you know, what's your style? And I think they know their style defensively they want to play. They know their style offensively that they want to play. And everything always for me starts up front in the trenches. When you think about offense and defensively, that's how we did it back in the day. You build from the inside out. And then you kind of, at some point, your players got to take over. And you kind of learn a lot during these training camp days when it's hot, like it's extremely hot. And you either going to love football or you're not going to like yourself too much right now. And I think when these guys are out there playing and they're understanding, like, you know, yes, you don't play Bama to the last game of the season. You don't play Georgia to the middle of the season. You got to take them one game at a time. But to us, it was all about taking one practice at a time and just competing against each other. Like, I think that's the biggest thing. And today is you got to compete in practice. And that's one thing we did, ones versus ones, a lot, where iron sharpens iron. You know, we made each other better. And at the end of the day, we go back to the locker room, we hug it up, guys get in fights, guys argue for us during practice because it's hot, but you're trying to get after each other in a competitive environment that just carry over to your Saturdays, but it makes you stronger as a team.
18 days until Auburn toe meets leather in Atlanta for Auburn and Baylor, the Aflac kickoff game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And although you've made your way to the broadcast booth, is there still a level of chills that comes across you, as it does many fans and players, when you hear the fight song, when you hear when you see the smoke and you see the players run onto the field for the first time every season?
Oh, most definitely. It just doesn't leave you. You know, you can't go in the field and compete anymore. But at the same time, last night my wife and I was actually watching the 04 season. I put on about a couple of games from 04, put a couple of games on from 02, and just going through there and just seeing. You really don't appreciate a lot of things until you're not able to go and do them anymore. But when you're able to look back and smile about some things you was able to accomplish and with your teammates and the brotherhood that we had, man, like, I'm geared up for football season, just putting that 04 season back on and just watching the brotherhood of that team and, you know, how we were so together. That's what my wife talked about. She's like, I just hadn't ever seen a team that was just so together, like, on the field and off the field. You guys, like, y'all genuinely cared and loved each other, and it just showed on the field with the passion that we played and the tenacious that we played with and not flinch when you run into a tough time, but to keep going. I think that builds character and that builds, you know, great football teams. And I think sometimes you just, you know, you just got to keep throwing wood. But I definitely get excited this time of the year. And every year I have to go back and watch some games just to get geared up, because I still get goosebumps when the season gets ready to start, because everyone has their opinion on what the season's going to look like, but nobody really knows because it's too early. You look at the rankings, it's 9 SEC teams ranked in the top 25. That doesn't mean those same 9 teams going to be there at the end of the year. Yeah. It may be 4 teams or 5 teams that's not ranked that will be ranked by that time. So rankings mean nothing in the first 4 weeks. I think after the first 4 weeks, the meats and potatoes separate themselves, and you'll find out what kind of football team you're going to have. So I think there's going to be some unique teams in this conference this year that's going to step up, and I think there may be two teams in this conference that has a lot of hype around that may not live up to it.
There we go. Fire us up on a Tuesday afternoon. Jason Campbell here with us on the phone lines, my man. Plug everything that y'all have going up on the Auburn Sports Network. I know that so many people are so excited to hear you and Andy Burcham back in the broadcast booth September 5th, but I know that there's a lot of stuff going on right now, so let everybody know where they need to go to keep up with all of the coverage up until football season.
Yeah, right now, like I said, Auburn Sports Network, War Eagle Plus, you can find a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes with the football team. You know, guys, they have a couple more scrimmages that left. I know you can find me on my podcast with SEC State of Mind on the Believe podcast. I do it with Taylor Davis, who is now the anchor to host Saturday games on SEC Network as a sideline reporter. And we kind of go deep into the whole SEC. And so you can catch us on our podcast and each and every week. So just subscribe, and it doesn't cost you anything, but just subscribe and keep up with all the good things and what's happening.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you for taking some time to join us here this afternoon. Looking forward again to hearing you back on the Auburn airwaves real soon, hopefully with some celebratory breakdowns with the color commentary. Jason Campbell, we greatly appreciate your time. Looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Yeah, thank you guys, and appreciate it, and look forward to a good weekend this weekend.
Yes, sir. War Eagle. Jason Campbell here with us on the phone lines, breaking down Auburn football as well as what's going on in Neville Arena with the inaugural card and memorabilia show presented by On to Victory. Again, ontovictory.com/card show is where you need to go to find out more about the two-day event Saturday and Sunday, with more than 150 vendor tables, a huge selection of sports cards, memorabilia, and collectibles, plus vendors will even have Pokemon cards. Again, he mentioned it as well. A couple of names that weren't even on our list that we didn't know about that are making their way to Neville Arena. So you never know who is going to show up. But $15 for the 1 day, $25 for the 2 day. I mean, that's absolutely nothing. Make your way out there. Neville Arena, August 22nd, August 23rd. Again, plenty of kid zone activities as well. There's cornhole. There's going to be so many events. Aubie making his way to town. And so no better place to be than Neville Arena, August 22nd and 23rd. VIP packaging as well on to victory.com/card show. Plan your weekend with On to Victory. We appreciate Jason Campbell for taking some time to join us here this afternoon. We'll take a break. We will come back and we will wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, back here wrapping up the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate everybody for being here with us on this very warm, warm is too disrespectful, this hot day here in Auburn, Opelika. Got to spend a little bit of time outside, and I'll be out there this evening back at Judge Scott Field, making some more little videos, making some more really cool content for the new Jumbotron, as well as for the Lee Scott Sports Network. And so excited to be back on the field. You talk about like getting chills. Obviously, we get chills on Friday just from being able to hear the intro music and being able to give the broadcast open and go through the pregame show and go through the countdown to kickoff and things like that. But being able to step foot on the brand new turf field, that I got a little bit of chills, which is kind of contradicting with how hot that it was down on that field, where it was like 98 yesterday. I would be willing to say it was 110, 115
on the field.
It was... So the fact that I was able to still get chills is pretty cool. But very, very excited for the high school season. I know we have some really, really cool coverage coming tomorrow as well, which we hinted at in hour number one. And we'll be able to continue to work our way through the high school season again. Wednesday's hour number one is where you need to be for all things Lee Scott, all things Auburn High School, all things around the state as well. Really, really looking forward to all of our high school coverage coming up as, again, everything gets started here on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm excited. It was cool to be able to go out to Judd Scott Field, see the renovations. I guess was my first time out there, so that was definitely cool to be able to see what that looks like, and hopefully be out there a little bit more depending on what Auburn's schedule looks like. Obviously, we're booked most Friday nights, but I think there's at least one Friday where we don't have a game where I might be able to sneak up there and catch some good football there for the Warriors. And yeah, same thing. I'm excited. It's the music. Can't wait to be able to hear my side of things. I've only ever done video, so being able to hear some of these imaging and stuff that our wizard Al Mason is getting up cooked up for us, I'm excited to hear all that stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be really cool. It's so awesome hearing like the changes of things. And obviously, like the first time that we heard our new intro, all of our new music, it's like you paid so much more attention. Like now, for better or for worse, it kind of just plays and it's like, okay, I know that I talk in 10 seconds as soon as it hits like this downward beat, and then it's the little bit of a smoother transition. But for those first like 2 or 3 weeks, it was like, oh man, I'm going to listen to every single word, every single beat drop. We're going to take extremely early breaks so I can hear all 60 seconds of the bottom of the hour bed or whatever the case may be.
And then you would have like the split second fear of, oh my gosh, is the old music going to get played? Yes. Nothing wrong with the old imaging. Phenomenal stuff, but it wasn't our names on it. It was like a, oh my gosh, what happens if they play this? But it is yet to fail.
Or the Kristen Griffin.
That was an era for sure. That was one
first
where
two weeks of On the Line.
Yeah, we got it back and we were like, well, I think we got it back like either the morning of the new show or the like weekend, the Friday before. So we just put it all in and we like react to it. We go, Kristen, and we look at each other like, he's saying, is that Kristen Griffin? And we were just like, you know what? And by then we also had to change the text box. So again, Al Mason does phenomenal stuff for us. Yeah. So we're appreciative of him. And I'm excited to hear some of those returns for Friday night. Some of those, the pregame, I mean, a lot of my pregame stuff, I'm excited to be able to hear with the countdown to kickoff and stuff like that. So again, I'm excited. This is my high school athletics radio debut. I've only ever been on ESPN. That first time on Wings. So big shoes to fill, both on the, you know, being a part of the crew and also doing the sideline stuff, both physically and metaphorically for Jack. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought that ESPN would come before the high school stuff? I mean, you're taking a step. I'm just kidding.
I know a couple times that it would.
Jack, okay.
I know a couple times where ESPN is coming before before the football stuff, and that's why I'm having to drive to Enterprise. But that's one thing or the other. But excited to be able to do some stuff like that. And again, we're having so much fun here. There's no other places you need to be. ESPN 106.7, especially on Friday before the games from 2 to 6 with our Winter Timber Outdoors remote. We've promoted it so much, and we're going to continue to promote it. Come out. Check out their one-year anniversary at Winter Timber Outdoors right across from the mall on East University Drive. Excited to be out there celebrating that with them.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of fun, and then we'll be making our way right after that to our respective stadiums. But all of that is coming up on Friday, but you'll be able to hear from the main men tomorrow afternoon, hour number one, between 2 and 3, all of our high school coverage for Lee Scott Academy, all of our coverage for Auburn High School as well. And then hour number two, a deep dive into a team in the state of Alabama. And we'll keep it right there for right now. But really, really excited to continue that segment, to be able to continue giving you more and more knowledge. Because, again, I've said it before, I'll continue to say it. The pride of what college football means in the state of Alabama. Football in general, whether that's Friday nights, whether that's all the way to midnight or whatever on Saturday night when you're watching 77-70, rest in peace, Pac-12 football. Everything in the state of Alabama just means more when it comes to the football side of things. He's Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we're back tomorrow to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.